It's a classic reading of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said this, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Notice verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And this is an introduction to the moral attributes of God through the statement that the angels or the seraphims in heaven made, declaring God's holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. For the last several weeks, we've been discussing the attributes of God or those characteristics that describe God. And we get those characteristics from the Bible, from God's word. In short, the attributes of God are the characteristics of God as God expressed them. Hello, and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm your host, Pastor Jeremy Wilbanks, and we're glad to have you with us today. We have looked at the natural attributes or the absolute attributes of God. Some people say natural, some people say incommunicable, some people say absolute attributes of God for the last several discussions. The attributes of God that are God's and God's alone. When we say natural or absolute or incommunicable, we mean those are attributes that God has and God has them alone, not humans, not angels, not demons. The devil doesn't have them. No one but God has these characteristics. For example, and we've discussed all of these, and you can go and look at them. Only God is omniscient. Humans aren't omniscient. We can know something about it, but only God is transcendent. Only God is above everything, and humans aren't. Only God is eternal, etc. And as we just mentioned, the fact that only God has these attributes doesn't mean that we can't understand something about those attributes, but it does mean that we cannot fully attain unto those attributes. And as far as we can tell, we never will be able to attain those attributes. But we are now at the beginning discussion of a second type of attribute of God, and that is God's moral attributes. And these are sometimes called God's communicable attributes, or what's meant that there is that they are God has them and we can have them. They are shareable, whereas his natural attributes or absolute attributes are God's and God's alone and not humans. Moral attributes are those characteristics that God has, but he expects you and I to have them also. And God's moral attributes are those things that help us to understand God's interaction with humanity on a more profound level than otherwise. His natural attributes, these moral attributes allow him to communicate and even connect with us on a more profound level than if we just knew about him in his natural attributes. This, maybe we could say that this is how God becomes more than just God expansive. He becomes God that we can know on a personal level. And it's the way that God communicates his nature to and with human beings who are made in his image. We'll touch on this in just a moment as we go a little bit further. As I go through a list, I'll just provide a little list of the attributes that we're going to cover. Some people say that there are more. Some people say that there are less. We'll cover these, and you'll understand as you read theology books or hear other people comment on this, you'll understand what they're talking about and why they may say that there's more or less. But we'll give this list, and this is the list that we'll cover. And as I go through this list of attributes, you will see the communicableness or the shareableness, the moral nature of these attributes. Here's just a quick list. God is love. God is grace, or maybe we could say God is graceful, full of grace, or God is mercy, or merciful, or the mercifulness of God is what we could talk about, or God is just. We could talk about the justice of God, or the justness of God. God is righteous. God is truth. God is good. And then finally, the last on the list is actually the first and where we will begin, and that is God is holy. God is holy. Now, holiness is one of those things that is kind of a tweener. It is both a natural or absolute attribute of God and a communicable one. And so that's a good place. It bridges the gap between that which is God and God's alone and that which God expects us and extends to us to have. There is a sense in which, what we mean by that is that there's a sense in which God is holy and we will never be able to attain to the same level of holiness that God has. God is holy. This is, that level of holiness is what we read in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3 at the very beginning of this broadcast, where the seraphims cried one to another, covering their face, covering their feet, and flying with two wings, and they cried without ceasing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That holiness is something that is declared apparently on repeat in heaven, and it is holiness to a level at which you and I may never attain. And nevertheless, we can know something about it, and more than know something about it, we can taste it, we can experience it, because God gives us His Spirit, and it's specifically called Holy Spirit. One translation, even in the book of Acts chapter 2, talks about people being, where we would say, filled with the Holy Ghost. One translation of the New Testament says, and they were filled with the Spirit of holiness. This is where we'll begin in the next broadcast, is talking about God's holiness. But all of this, every one of these, this list of moral attributes or communicable attributes, God is love, grace, mercy, justice, holiness, etc. All of this is an important study for us because, well, we're humans. And the first thing that can be said about humans is that we're made in the image of God. That's the first thing that can be said about human beings, is that we're made in the image of God. Perhaps one of these days we'll talk about what it means to be a human. This is an anthropological discussion. What does it mean to be a human being? What does it mean to be me? There's a lot that can be said about what it means to be a human, but sufficient for today, all we would have to do is quote Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, which says, "So God created man in His own image." This is the first thing that can be said about humans. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. That's important for the discussions that are going on in society today. That's sufficient for us to begin. What it means to be a human is that we're made in the image of God, and having been made in the image of God, we're supposed to be like Him. This is a weighty understanding, and it's an understanding that God intended from the very beginning, from creation, that when creation saw humanity, when God brought humanity up out of the dust of the earth, when creation saw humanity, they were supposed to think of God. Humans were made in God's image. And this idea that humanity is supposed to express the nature of God is one that's picked up post-Genesis throughout all of the Old Testament, in different places throughout all of the Old Testament, but it also shows up in the New Testament. Let me read just a couple of examples for you before we close. One of the most prominent, and I believe one of the most telling, one of the most weighty passages that picks up on this theme is Romans chapter 1. Verses 18 and 19, very familiar passage of Scripture and one that we've used in our broadcast. This is what it says: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all," notice the word here, "ungodliness." Otis, ungodliness. "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." What is ungodliness? This is a different discussion, but we have to touch on it here. Ungodliness is that which is not like God, but it's not just that it's different than God, but it is a misrepresentation of God. And this is something that stirs God's wrath. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness," that which is not like God, "and unrighteousness of men." Okay, we're touching on the subject of what does it mean to be a human. And we've already said that the initial thing that can be said about a human is that we're made in the image of God. And if we hold, or if we participate in ungodliness, actions that are not like God, but not just different from God, but actions that misrepresent God, well, that stirs up the wrath of God. Notice, let me read it again. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Listen to verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." That which may be known of God. Humanity is supposed to be a declaration of the character and the nature of God. We are supposed to, there are attributes that God has, and you and I are supposed to have them. We are the display of God's nature in the earth. When the universe sees us, when the created order sees us, they're supposed to see the nature of God. And we know further, we know that this is the case because we know that humanity, we know that humanity is supposed to display the nature of God because at the appearing of the Lord, and in the end, at the appearing of the Lord, we who serve God are going to be changed perfectly into His likeness. Right now, we are imperfect at this displaying of God's nature. We're imperfect at it. But in that day, when we see Him, when our eyes see Him, our ability to bear His image will be perfected. This is what it means to be the Son of God, to be an image bearer of God. And I'm certainly not the first to talk about that. Theologians are talking about that. Son of God means image bearer, those who bear the image of God and bear it perfectly. Right now, we're imperfect at it. But when we see Him, when the Lord returns, our image bearing, our ability to bear the image of God will be perfected. Let me read it to you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, he says, John, writing what we would call the general epistle to the churches, says this, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, image bearers, and it doth not yet appear." In other words, now, there's an already not yet built into this. There's a now and a not yet, okay? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the image bearers of God. And it doth, here's the not yet, "it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear," notice what it says, "we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." This is a very important study. Us looking at the nature of God is more than just getting the concepts down. It's supposed to inform the way we live. So let's move forward into understanding God's nature, God's characteristics better. This is the thing that's supposed to guide our life. Next time when we get together, we're going to begin by looking at the holiness of God. Until then, God bless. We can't wait.